Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
What is up? What is happening? We are back again. It is week 8. We have this sorry-ass Packers and Cardinals game going on right now. And we are back again to break down the main slate. Joined, as always, with Matty D. And it wouldn't be a pod without saying Mr. 2v2, Mr. Matty Buckets, right? And we are joined once again. We've been hyping it for 2 weeks, and he's back. The prodigal son has returned. Ryan Williams, Mr. TFA OG himself, back again. We are excited. We have been looking forward to this for the last couple of weeks when we got it locked in. I am happy. I am excited. Ryan Williams, everybody, back again in the chair. The three amigos, the three wolves out here again. Woo! Let's go. How are you doing, Ryan?
What is happening? What is happening, dude? It feels weird to be on this side of things, but it's obviously great to be back with the three amigos, with me included there. We might have to have you carve something up, Kev. You know, we need amigos avatar or something like that where we could be in the car, maybe in the James Corden carpool karaoke, something. We need it. But it's always good to be back, man. I've been following along with you guys all year long. Matty, you're going to get over the hump. This is the week. This is the week you're going to get over the hump. Let's get it. Kev, I don't know what's going on with your Chiefs, but I feel like they're going to right the ship too. They're just, you know, they need to get right spot on Monday night against the Giants and they'll be fine. You know, Patty Mahomes are bust. So I'm just here. I'm just along for the ride now. I'm a guest. I don't know what else to say.
Either Walido's caps lock button is broken or he's really excited that you're back on the show.
Walido.
He's typed about 12 messages and there's not a single lowercase letter.
He did ask last night. I don't want to put you on the spot, but he did ask last night in our live stream that we do every Wednesdays for the Start Sit show. He asked if you were going to be back for the Thanksgiving slate. And I said, well, you'll have to wait till tomorrow night maybe to find out. So are you going to be available for our annual Thanksgiving slate breakdown?
Let's just say I have a hold on the calendar for that. I have it circled. So, I mean, that's a tradition unlike any other. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Masters is out here saying, but, you know, Thanksgiving is always a fun slate to get after with the boys. So
I know our annual 2.5 hour, 3-game breakdown.
Check mark and booked. Let's get after it.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that being said, why don't we just, cut to the chase and get right after it. Get into this slate. So, quarterbacks, this is an interesting slate because we don't have, you know, we don't have Dak. We don't have Lamar. We don't have Pat Mahomes. No Aaron Rodgers. No Kyler. So, we got Josh Allen at 8,100. Matt Stafford at 7,600. Tom Brady at 7,400. Justin Herbert at 7,300. Jalen Hurts at 7,200. Joe Burrow at 7,100, Ryan Tannehill at 6,600, Jameis Winston at 6K, and that is the 6K and above quarterbacks. So, Ryan, you're back. So I'll start with you. Where are we starting at quarterback this week?
So, listen, I mean, quarterback this week to me, I think is Josh Allen or a bust. I get it. The numbers for this team playing against the Dolphins. I mean, he's owned the Dolphins in his career, right? Especially at home. This dude has like, I think, 8 touchdowns in the past couple home game matchups that he's had, 2 rushing touchdowns, and they've just obliterated them. And this matchup, again, earlier on in the year was in Miami, but they obliterated them there too. But they're just so pass heavy. And that's something that I like to target when I'm attacking the quarterback position. I mean, this team with the implied team total over 30 points, like, you got to think that they're going to come through the air. They're going to come through him. Now, we can talk about wide receiver because I think it gets interesting on who you pair this dude with. But I think that you got to play him in the chance of getting multiple touchdowns. Hopefully we don't get a chance where Matt Barkley comes in because they're beating the brakes off of them, as what happened in the previous matchup with these two teams. But I like Josh Allen. I'm interested in Tom Brady. Tom Brady has been the only successful quarterback for me this year, stacking him with his options. Antonio Brown walking with the crutch. I don't know what's going on with him, Mr. Peanut, but he looks like he's going to be missing some time. And so I think we can pinpoint who his pass catchers are going to be. And then, you know, outside of those two guys, I guess I have some Hurts interest. I see some guys in the chat talking about Jalen Hurts. I mean, this dude is like Blake Bortles-esque type of production of what we're getting in the fourth quarter, right? Like, from the passing numbers are just absolutely absurd when you're talking about volume. He still has the rushing upside. They're going against Detroit. I can't think of a better get-right spot here. I actually do like that Detroit and Philly game a lot from a game stack perspective. So those are the three quarterbacks that I have at the top. Of course, always Matt Stafford's in conversation, but I do like a running back there a little bit more. But yeah, I think it starts for me at Tom Brady and Josh Allen, and then I am interested in Hurts a little bit too. How are you guys feeling?
Kev, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be a slate if I'm not going to talk about Carson Wentz at 5,700. you know, let's go down from some of these top guys. And I really like Carson Wentz this week. This is a game that I feel like has some shootout potential. We've seen the Colts open up at a 23.25. implied point total, has went all the way up to 26.75. So a ton of line movement. And they actually went from being a one-point dog to now a 3.5-point favorite. So I think there's something to like here in this game. I think that, you know, Carson Wentz has played his best football over the last, you know, really, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of the season. You know, they really haven't had to do a whole lot either because of some of the game scripts they've been in. And so, you know, they played the Houston game where he only threw 20 times last week in the tsunami game against San Francisco, but he just looks really good. And, you know, you have guys like Michael Pittman, who's turned into a full-fledged alpha. You have the running backs that they're targeting out of the backfield with Jonathan Taylor and a little bit of Nyheim Hines, you know, and then you got, you know, T.Y. Hilton should be back this week. And so I really do like this Colts offense. And while, yes, the Titans made the Chiefs look like the Jets last week, that is not who the Titans are. The Titans' pass defense has been terrible this year. And so I think this is another spot here for Carson Wentz, whether you want to stack him with, you know, either, you know, I think you could even run, you know, a Wentz, Jonathan Taylor, and Michael Pittman stack. I don't mind doing that. But I really like Carson Wentz this week in this matchup against the Titans. So, and especially at his price at 5,700, I just think he makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, I really would love to play Sam Darnold against Atlanta, but I just don't think I could do it. Like, you have to have a pretty strong stomach because he has looked so terrible, you know, over the last really month of the season. And but this is a smash spot against Atlanta. Like, Atlanta's secondary is terrible.
Is he the starter, Kev? Is he the starter this week?
I think I would assume he is, right? I mean, I'm
legit asking. I mean, like, you know, you get benched in the middle of the game at quarterback, like that tends to lead to some questions.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm probably maybe have a couple of lineups of Sam Darnold, but I don't know. I think I'd rather just have the pieces from this game. You know, give me some DJ Moore and stuff like that. But I do like Trevor Lawrence as kind of a sneaky upside play here at 5,500. Okay. Yes.
I hate that you brought him up, Kev, because I didn't want to agree with you, at least not 10 minutes into the show. But that is an interesting piece that I was looking at too, considering the options that you can stack him with and what the salary would be to kind of play him and the two dudes or three. depending on what you like at tight end. He offers some intrigue for sure.
Yeah, and I think he offers a little bit with his legs too. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson out there, but he's a guy that could get 30, 40 rushing yards. And so, you know, at his price at 5,500 against a really not great Seattle secondary, you know, I like Trevor Lawrence, and he's 5,500, and he kind of opens up the rest of the slate to be able to kind of play all the dudes. If you want to run Derrick Henry or if you want to run, you know, Cooper Kupp, I think he allows you to do that. And so I do like some Trevor Lawrence.
All right, so,
other than that, you know, that's, I mean, of the top end guys. Maddie, let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on Justin Herbert this week? Because I've seen some people kind of go back and forth on him because, you know, we've seen the two monster games that he's had, and then the right before they went on bye, he looked embarrassingly bad. Do you have any interest in Justin Herbert against this New England defense?
I do, yes. I don't know that I'm going to end up playing him. I may end up playing a piece of the Chargers passing attack without Herbert, but I do like Herbert. I mean, we just saw the Cowboys, you know, they're a perfect example of what you can do against New England. New England's been a rather solid run defense. They rank 17th in adjusted line yards. They're 10th in second level yards and 5th in open field yards. And they've faced some pretty decent rush attacks. So New England, while they don't scream pass funnel in terms of like DVOA and whatnot, they actually are, you know, based on the production that we've seen from the good teams like Dallas, you know, you can pass on them, and the Chargers are a team that is not necessarily going to rely on the run, and they absolutely will just rely on Herbert. So, Cody. So, yeah, no, I absolutely have interest in the Chargers passing attack. I worry about the pace of play in that game because everybody that plays the Chargers just takes the air out of the ball and just runs the ball over and over again. And we know that's what New England's going to do. So I'm concerned the number of plays in that game is going to be lower than what we normally see in a Chargers game. So that's why I kind of lean towards, you know, a one-off wide receiver as opposed to just fully stacking Herbert. But I absolutely think they're going to score through the air in that game. So I definitely like the Chargers. But, I mean, it's hard not to like these other guys at the top too. Like Josh Allen, I mean, Buffalo's going to score 30-plus points. And Miami's been one of the worst defenses in the NFL. It's like you just play Josh Allen, you get all the Buffalo points, whether he runs it in or throws a bunch of touchdowns. So 8,100 is not too expensive for him. And honestly, the same can be said for Stafford. I probably won't end up playing Stafford. I'll end up playing the running back there. But you absolutely can play Stafford. Brady, I love Brady this week, and I'm hoping he goes overlooked. I mean, how many times do we see Brady-led teams, they scheme against what the defense is going to allow? And we know this New Orleans team is a mirror image of the Bucs defense. You can't run on them. You have to throw to have success, and Brady's going to know that. And the list, while you know, people may quote, you know, the New Orleans defense has been blah, 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 you know, against opposing passing attacks. I mean, they've played Geno Smith, Taylor Heineke, Daniel Jones, Mac Jones, Sam Darnold, and then week one, Aaron Rodgers, where the Packers just absolutely no-showed. So there's literally not been a single good passing attack they've faced, and now they get to face the greatest quarterback of all time. So I love Brady in this spot. You know, I think he could go overlooked because people see a red number three against his name for the team he's playing against. So 7,400 is not too expensive for him. Then there's two games with cheaper quarterbacks that I really want to attack. That's Detroit and Philly. I'm good with playing Goff and Hurts. Either way you want to do it. I'm going to play Hurts and probably run it back with Swift on the line side and Hockenson. But I don't even mind playing a Goff stack as well with Swift and Hockenson. I think that game can go to the moon. Those two teams, you know, they can put up points against each other's defenses pretty quickly. And then the other game that I have a lot of interest in is Indy and Tennessee. I think that game could turn into a shootout rather quickly as well. So Tannehill and Wentz are both good upside options at their prices. There will be interest in the running backs in those games as well, which, you know, is going to lead to depressed passing attack ownerships, which is fine. And honestly, those are offenses where you can play the QB with the running back because the running backs catch passes there too. Like an interesting stat on the Tennessee offensive side, they're playing against Indy, who runs over 60% zone. So they're like near the top of the league in zone coverage. This year against zone coverage, Derrick Henry is second on the team in targets with 16 against zone coverage. AJ Brown leads the team with 18, and he's one ahead of Julio with 15. So, you know, if you are playing Tannehill, don't be afraid to pair him with Henry and just get the entire Tennessee offense in that game. So I like that game as well. And that's pretty much where I'm going to start my short list of QBs to play.
Yeah, I love that Tennessee and Indy game. Tannehill was a guy that I had written down and kind of overlooked him, and probably because this dude's only thrown for multiple touchdowns in one game this year. He really has, you know, we don't see him hitting that 300-yard upside, you know, the multiple touchdowns, but he is running in some touchdowns, you know, three rushing touchdowns on the year already. You love to see that. And we've seen in the past, we've talked about it on this show multiple times, like stacking Tennessee and getting all the points, right? So like people love this game, and who's going to play, you know, Tannehill and Henry and a pass catcher for Tennessee and or run it back with an Indy pass catcher? Nobody's doing that. You know, they're going to play Henry and Pittman, or they're going to play, you know, Jonathan Taylor and Tannehill and AJ Brown, or maybe they get, you know, they think that they're getting cute or whatever, or getting contrarian and going to Julio. I love getting exposure to this offense in contrarian ways. I think a really contrarian way is getting Tannehill with Julio and AJ Brown. Like, this is something that we kind of talked about going into the season as this offense kind of being a little bit potent and having to throw. And like, what happens if, you know, some of these Julio touchdowns don't get called back by penalty and AJ Brown keeps burning secondaries and Tannehill does throw for multiple scores, and or if Kev is saying, like, if Carson Wentz is having a good game and then Henry gets game scripted out, like, nobody's going to have Tannehill with two pass catchers in this matchup, even though this is one of the best games on the slate from what Vegas is telling us. So I think that getting unique builds on that game is where I definitely want to get exposure to. And I'm kind of leaning towards you this year, Maddie, where I'm building like five teams. I'm really trying to be succinct in what I do. But like, this game is one that I just circled where you have to have exposure to this game on one team if you're building multiples.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it stands out on paper as one of the few games where both teams have the ability to score 30 points, right? I mean,
right.
At a first look of the slate, I mean, there's what, four really good offenses that have the ability to score 30 points outside of game stacks, outside of those two games, the Philly, Detroit, and Indy and Tennessee. That's Buffalo against Miami, the Bengals against the Jets, the Rams against Houston, and Tampa Bay against New Orleans. And those are all games where they could be one-sided games. So right. Like, I mean, yes, they could have a ton of production on one side, and those will be spots where, you know, you don't necessarily want to run it back maybe. But like, these are games that can go absolutely nuclear from a pace standpoint. And you can just really unlock, you know, the highest ceiling games of the week just by playing those two games that could go back and forth. So yeah, I'm with you, Ryan. I love that Indy Tennessee game.
So other than that, is there any other quarterbacks you guys want to talk about? Or do you guys jump over to running backs?
I'm good on my end.
Yeah, let's jump over to running backs, because it's going to lead me to talk about a situation at quarterback that I think maybe garners some popularity.
Go ahead. All right. Running backs. So we have no 9K running back this week. Derrick Henry has fallen down to 8,900. You have Alvin Kamara at 8,700. Austin Eckler at 7,900. Najee Harris at 7,500. Jonathan Taylor at 7,200. DeAndre Swift at 7,100. Joe Mixon at 6,900. Nick Chubb at a paltry 6,800. James Robinson, 6,600. Daryl Henderson at 6,500. Leonard Fournette at 6,300. Cordarrelle Patterson at 6,200. Damian Harris at 61. And then Chuba Hubbard at 6K. So, running backs, you know, I think it's a very interesting week for running back, but you know, I will talk about that in a second. Ryan, you led us off at quarterback. Matty, lead us off at running back.
Yeah, so there's a couple really good spots that, you know, we briefly mentioned while talking about the quarterback position. And there's three that stand out on paper in terms of pure defensive matchup. And that's the Chargers run defense, the Philly run defense, and the Houston run defense. All three of them are in the bottom four in terms of the rushing metrics that I weigh pretty heavily. So Damian Harris is going to be a priority of mine more than likely, even though he's 6,100. I mean, the way you beat the Chargers, and the, I mean, they're like the league worst run defense. So, you know, I'm not too worried about him getting scripted out of that game. Like I said, I think that game plays a little slow, and we haven't really seen the Chargers blow the doors off anybody. They've won some close games. So I like Harris in a competitive game there. I may not make a team without Daryl Henderson this week. I know he was a big bust last week, scoring only 9 points against Detroit. And I think that could possibly lower his ownership this week against Houston. But Cooper Kupp's not going to score two touchdowns every single week, is he? So eventually those are going to swing back to Daryl Henderson. So I really like him at 6,500. I think that, you know, he's playing 90% of the snaps every week. So he's going to be a priority of mine. And then DeAndre Swift at 7,100, assuming he plays, which he should. He's been questionable the entire year so far and has continued to smash. Swift has turned into the feature back there, playing pretty much 75% of the snaps on a weekly basis. You know, he's gone for over 20 points in four out of his seven games already this year. Philly is, like we said, bottom of the barrel in run defense. They rank 30th in adjusted line yards, 29th in second level yards. So Swift is a guy, once you let him get out in the open, you know, he can really do some damage, which we saw last week against the Rams, who have a pretty good defense. And he's heavily, heavily, heavily involved in the pass game. I mean, targets of 11, 5, 7, 6, 6, 7, and 10 on the year so far. So the matchup and workload does not get much better than DeAndre Swift, and he's 7,100. He will be semi-popular, I think. So, but I'm not sure that I care. I think that he's too good of a player and too good of a matchup here with too good of a role. I think that I'm just going to eat the chalk if he ends up chalk. And then one other guy I will touch on. I like Jonathan Taylor this week against Tennessee. We talked about the QB situation there, but you know, similar to, you know, Swift and Henderson, he's starting to see a good chunk of the snaps, and Nyheim Hines has not really been a thing this year. It's turned into the Jonathan Taylor show. And Tennessee's metrics are not very good either. 22nd in adjusted line yards, 24th in second level yards, and 24th in open field yards. So I think, you know, Jonathan Taylor can have a monster breakout game here. We've seen him go over 100 yards in three of his last four games. He's over 20 fantasy points in all four games, with two of those being over 30. So definitely monster upside here for JT against Tennessee in a game environment we really like. And he can be involved in the pass game too if they were to start trailing. So, those are the guys I'm pretty much going to focus on. I don't know how much Derrick Henry I'm going to end up with, just because I like these other guys more. And then Kamara, I probably will not end up with Kamara. I think that, you know, the Bucs are going to be smart enough to kind of take him away. So that's kind of where I stand with the studs at the top. I'm curious, Ryan, I'll toss this question to you. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt is out. We know that, you know, and we saw the, you know, we saw the ownership that Kareem Hunt was getting. I mean, it was what, 50, 60, 70% when Chubb missed. Obviously, I don't think Chubb is going to get that high playing against Pittsburgh, but we know Chubb's, you know, issue has been that he's never been really involved in the pass game. And with Kareem Hunt out, I would assume that role goes up. What are you doing with Nick Chubb this week? And then talk to me about the other guys you like.
He's a tough one. I literally was looking into this before this pod, because I was like, I'm really interested in Deontay. So I was like, man, you know, this is kind of tough because Pittsburgh's playing slow right now. You know, they're not that kind of like fast paced team. I think they're happy to go in there and kind of run clock and get out with wins and not let Ben Roethlisberger have to do too much. But I mean, with Juju Smith-Schuster being out for the year, like, I think we're going to see this concentrated offense, you know, on one side. So it was making me look at Deontay, who I think is still underpriced. I mean, they just won't do anything with this dude's price. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, he gets double digit targets and we just, you know, play him every week. So on the other side, I was looking at what I could do, and Baker's banged up and Odell's banged up, Jarvis is banged up, and this is a kind of a stout defense. But like, if anybody could like do it, it's Nick Chubb, who was seeing 20 plus touches with Kareem Hunt, you know, still being there. And I think people will think about D'Ernest Johnson and be like, oh, they're going to split. I don't want to play Nick Chubb in that manner. But like, if he's healthy, they're going to put him out there as the lead back. Like, D'Ernest Johnson, that was great. We got that game on Thursday night. It was awesome. And, you know, we just put that in the bank and hope that he gets freed and maybe traded by Tuesday to go somewhere else where he could eat. But nobody's going to play Nick Chubb. And I think he becomes real interesting. He becomes absolutely interesting if Austin Eckler, he popped up with a hip injury, I guess. Like, he's on the injury report. And the direct pivot off of Austin Eckler is going to be, people will go to Kamara or people will go to Swift, you know, because they want that pass catching upside, and nobody's going to be thinking about Nick Chubb. So like, if we don't have Eckler on the slate and I don't have to think about that, I'm just going to, you know, take some shots on Nick Chubb. But I do like playing him with a bring back on Pittsburgh side, because if he's smashing and what we expect him to, you know, do 100 plus yards, 150 yards on the ground and two scores or more, somebody on the Pittsburgh side is going to have to eat up that volume. So I think he's interesting. I love the Swift call. Like, Swift has been a guy, I was very frustrated last week. I was just like, you know, Swift's in play every week. He was a great pivot off of a chalky Chuba Hubbard who was on the road. And they were kind of coming in at similar price, but Hubbard's ownership was just that much larger against the Giants. And I was like, man, why did I not play Swift in this matchup against the Rams, where it just shaped up in a great spot for him to get those target totals. And he takes that play to the house and you're just sitting there tilting. But he's in play every week, wide receiver, running back, at the same spot. I think Damian Harris, we got the Ramondre Stevenson news late on Sunday that he was going to be ruled out in a smash spot. You know that the touches are kind of limited there, but you know, it is a game against the Chargers there. If this defense, you know, can hold them and the Chargers are somewhat of a run funnel, you know, I think that Damian Harris is always going to be in play every week. So I do love him. And I do like Kamara. I talked about Tom Brady. I think, Maddie, you're feeling the same type of way. And I just don't know how much they can game script him out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels ugly, but he is their only play right now. I mean, Marquez Callaway, this would be a spot where I'd be interested in him, but like, the catch rate isn't there. They're missing him on multiple passes, Jameis, that is. It is a revenge game for Jameis, whatever that's worth, against the Tampa Bay team. But like, he can't find him. Traquan Smith, he's yelling at him, but he's back healthy. Maybe that eats into Marco's share. And like, Alvin Kamara is just, he's that dude. It's going to suck with Eckler out, because I think it will rise his ownership up, but I don't think anybody wants to play Kamara. And like, he is the best way for New Orleans to have any semblance of chance of staying in that game. So I think that he makes it interesting. Like, if you're not getting exposure to Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor, both of those guys I love in that matchup. If you're not playing Joe Mixon, who I see the chat talking about, Walido's in there, like, Joe Mixon was the guy I was going to talk about, because Joe Burrow, I think maybe he gets a little bit of love with the Chase stack because of what just happened last week. But Mixon at his price tag, I mean, this dude going against the Jets, like, they need to get him the ball. We saw him over 30 plus touches in week one and they just haven't been running him, but this is a prime spot for him to eat. People are forgetting about him. So I do think running back is interesting, but I think for me, it's looking at the Indy Tennessee game at those running backs, but I'm not going to have much exposure to Henry. So I look down, I do have interest in Chubb. I think Kamara is my main pay up that I want to get to. Do have interest in Swift, but for majority of myself, it's going to be looking at Daryl Henderson, who I think is in a get right spot here. And just gets me Rams exposure that I wouldn't otherwise get because of Cooper Kupp's price tag. And then Joe Mixon, who, while he's on the road, he's playing against the Jets that have been obliterated by backs, and this should be a spot for him. Samaje Perine getting run is frustrating, but I think that this is a good spot for Joe Mixon. I'm interested in him in tournaments. The one cheap guy before I toss it to you, Kev, that I am interested in, got to call the homer call, is Khalil Herbert. This dude, like, he is way underpriced for what he's able to do. 100 yards against the Bucks, like, nobody does that. And this rookie just went out there and did that in probably the ugliest game that you could possibly write up for a piece on the other side. Like, it should have been a pass catcher to kind of get to a score. And this dude, he just finds ways. And while David Montgomery is on IR and Damian Williams is just not that dude, this guy's explosive. I mean, he looks amazing. They're at home against the 49ers. Nobody's giving them love. I think it's +4 is what the line is now. They'll probably move a little bit in San Francisco's favor. I think people want to play Eli Mitchell on the other side. And I think Khalil Herbert is the best way for the Bears to have any semblance of chance of winning or staying in that game. And he's very interesting to me. And Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines had chances last week. He wasn't able to convert in the pass game. You like that Khalil Herbert's getting a little bit of looks in the pass game, but not that many. But I think on the ground he can get there at his price tag, which is way too cheap for a lead back.
Yeah, and I mean, even that game last week, it was 38-3, and he still got 18 carries and went for 100 yards and had 5 targets. So, I mean,
right,
it seems like they're just going to give him 20 touches regardless of what the game looks like. So, yeah, I'm good with that. And then one final thing on the Nick Chubb, and then we'll toss it back to Kev. Pittsburgh actually ranks 21st in second-level yards and second to last in open field yards. So, yeah, against the best run-blocking O-line in the NFL, Nick Chubb could end up being very sneaky, assuming his ownership doesn't get out of control with no Kareem Hunt. But, yep. All right, no, Kev,
it won't. It won't, Maddie. It won't. It won't get out of control.
It shouldn't. I hope it doesn't, because I have interest.
One of my favorite running backs on this entire slate, first in opportunity share among all running backs. He's first in snap share. He's second in targets and has a 20% target share.
Derrick Henry.
Najee Harris. 100%. I'm going to be well overweight on Najee Harris. Najee Harris is extremely too cheap. He should be well into the 8K range. He's only 7,500. He is just too cheap for what they are giving him. He's Le'Veon Bell, right? And back whenever he was here, prime Le'Veon Bell. And the guy is just going to get peppered with targets. He is the safety valve for Big Ben. Anything breaks down, he dumps it off to Najee Harris. And so it is really hard for me not to want to be overweight on this guy every time he's on the slate, because he just sees such an incredible workload that you're just not going to find anywhere in many other places. His receiving work, it has been fantastic. While he hasn't been the most efficient running back in the league, it doesn't matter because the amount of volume that he sees. He can never be game scripted out of the game because he's always going to be involved in the passing game here. Juju Smith-Schuster leaving just opens up even more targets for him. And so I absolutely love Najee Harris. I don't care if they're playing the Browns. I really don't care whoever they're playing in any week, because with the amount of volume he's seeing, he's always going to be in play, and the price tag is just not high enough. Like I said, I think he should be up there in the $8,400, $8,500 range with what he's providing, and he's not. And so I absolutely love Najee Harris. James Robinson, love this matchup against Seattle. He is also fifth in opportunity share among all running backs. Carlos Hyde was a thing there for a little while, but for the most part, I mean, the last time he played in week 6, he had played 91% of the snaps. He also ran 31 routes. You love to see that in that game, had over 100 yards and a touchdown. And so he's also the pass catching back in this offense. And so absolutely love James Robinson here at that price tag as well at 6,600. The other guy I was going to hit on was Khalil Herbert. I'm not going to bring him up now because I 100% agree. He is way, way too cheap for what he's providing at 5,400. And so I absolutely love him. I'm not worried about San Francisco's defense. We saw Jonathan Taylor carve that defense up last week. And so I like Khalil Herbert at that price range. If we're going to pay down at running back, I think there's a couple of different options. I have some interest in Kenneth Gainwell because it sounds like Miles Sanders is not going to play. At this point, I'd be shocked if Miles Sanders plays, right? And so we want to play running backs against Detroit. Now, I know it can be a little frustrating because, you know, is it going to be Boston Scott? Is it going to be Kenneth Gainwell? I think it's going to be Kenny Gainwell. And Kenny Gainwell at 5K against Detroit is too good to pass up as well. So I absolutely love Kenny Gainwell as long as Miles Sanders is out, which they have not ruled him out, but I would be surprised if he played this week. And so I like him. And there's one other guy, and he plays for the New York Jets that I like, and that is Michael Carter. $4,900 Michael Carter.
Oh, my goodness.
This was the easy one for me. I absolutely love this guy this week. Last week he played 74% of the snaps. He ran 22 routes, which is by far the most he's run all year. He had 9 targets, 8 receptions, 104 yards. Cincinnati is a good run defense, I will say that. But I think with having Mike White at quarterback, he is going to see a massive amount of dump-offs to Michael Carter. It's what you see from all backup quarterbacks. They're just looking to get the ball out there as quickly as possible. And so I think Michael Carter could see, 10-plus targets in this game. And Tevin Coleman doesn't sound like he's going to play. It does sounds like Ty Johnson should be available. But regardless of that, $4,900, Michael Carter, and if on a PPR format, I'm about that because I think the pass-catching volume is definitely going to be there for him.
What are the chances that it is White quarterbacking and not Flacco?
I think they've already said that they've already named Mike White the starter.
They named him a starter. Okay. I missed that today, but I thought that was interesting that they traded for him on a week where they would need to could potentially start him. But all right, yeah, I guess it's White against Cincinnati. Let me play Cincy D then.
So I mean that's kind of where I come in, and so those are the guys I do like some of the guys you guys mentioned, but no reason to be a dead horse. So do you guys have anybody else at running back, or you want to jump to wide receiver?
I was looking through. I think that's really it at running back. I mean, the only thing, which I haven't been able to talk to you guys about this, Mike Davis was a popular topic for us last year on the Degen Nation part. What the hell is going on in Atlanta? And, is Cordarrelle Patterson in play just every week because of his share of
I don't think he is. I don't think he is. And so – and this is why. So if you look at Carolina has been excellent against the run. And they've been even better against pass catching backs. They've only allowed 86 receiving yards all season to running backs. And it's the next closest is 160 team to them. Some of it's a little fluky because it's only been 17 receptions on them. But they've done an excellent job against the run. And they are – 9th in adjusted line yards, 7th in stuff rank. So they've been a really solid defense. And so I don't love Cordarrelle Patterson here in this matchup. This defense has been really good.
I think his role, he's a good cash play. His upside, mm-hmm. We saw it 1 week where he scored 3 touchdowns, but that's not going to be the norm for him.
Right. So whatever it was, 11 touches or whatever the hell it was, just absolute crazy anomaly game. But I just thought that was interesting to bring up because I feel like if that Miami and Atlanta game went a little bit differently last week, I feel like, and maybe the Carolina and Giants game to the extent that Darnold got benched, I feel like people would be looking at this Carolina and Atlanta game being sneaky. So much chalk was had on the Atlanta passing side and then bringing it back with Jalen Waddle with Devontae Parker getting ruled out and Kyle Pitts got there, but Calvin Ridley, he really needed that touchdown to kind of save his week. Russell Gage was back. Matt Ryan, it's always hard to trust him in DFS, but that is a game that I was kind of I'm not interested in it this week, but had things gone differently, it could have been interesting. So I was looking at pieces of that game and wanted to talk about Patterson and Mike Davis with you guys. Why I had your ears, but I think that's all I have at running back really.
All right, well, let's jump over to wide receivers. We got Cooper Kupp starting it off at 9K. Surprise, surprise. Stephon Diggs at 8,100. Mike Williams at 7,700. Terry McLaurin at 7,600. Jamar Chase, 7,500. Still too cheap. Debo Samuel at 7,400. DJ Moore at 7,200. Mike Williams at 7 or Mike Williams, Mike Evans at 7K. AJ Brown at 6,900. DK Metcalf at 6,800. Deontay Johnson, 6,700. Just smash him in there. That's way too cheap for him. And his 17 million targets he sees every week from Big Ben for a one ADOT. Calvin Ridley, 6,600. Keenan Allen at 6,500. Corlin Sutton at 6,400. Chris Godwin at 6,400. Robert Woods, 6,300. Chase Claypool at 6,300. Tyler Lockett at 6,100. Cannot mess with that. And then that pretty much is it because you have Antonio Brown, who's doubtful, and then Michael Thomas, who's not playing. So, quarterback or wide receivers, I think, are interesting this week. I think Calvin Ridley is a smash play at 6,600 against Carolina. He's just too cheap. I already mentioned Deontay Johnson at 6,700. Just the amount of his target volume is ridiculous. And, he may be a guy who isn't going to give you, a 40. But at 6,700, he's going to see just such a ridiculous target share. And you see so many receptions. And we've actually seen him actually being able to complete some deep balls with Big Ben. Every time it happens, I'm caught off because I'm like, I didn't think Big Ben could still throw deep. But, apparently he just musters it up enough once or twice a game just to be able to make that throw. And, Deontay Johnson's look good. I mean, he burned Jair Alexander on that one play. So, I don't mind him. I really love him at 6,700. But I wanted to ask you guys, because you have Stephon Diggs, who's 8,100.
Smash. Right?
And I'm playing him. I love Stephon Diggs, but I also – why not Emmanuel Sanders? And I know you can play them both, obviously, together. But why not just play Emmanuel Sanders at 5,400? I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is getting more targets than he is. He's playing more snaps than he is, than Stephon Diggs is. And he's significantly cheaper.
And air yards, too. His air yards have been incredible. I mean, it is. So what I wrote down for this game was like, okay, you got Xavier Howard and Byron Jones back, which would normally worry you about targeting opposing wide receivers, and we saw that last week with Calvin Ridley where he struggled. But like Stephon, they play man. And like Stephon Diggs, man coverage numbers, which Maddie, you're the metrics guy. I just go in and look at favorable spots. But it is interesting how often this dude has like smashed specifically against man coverage. Like that was a thing when he was back at Minnesota. It's carried over to Buffalo. But I will say though, it does lead interest to me though, Maddie. Especially, on the site where I play, where they have him egregiously underpriced. But also, we got Dawson Knox out, right? And so, like, who's playing, Josh Allen, who passes the ball around to anybody who's open? It doesn't have to be his favorable guy. And who's to say that he doesn't, connect on Emmanuel Sanders on a long one? And then Gabe Davis, who, like, I was scrolling down and looking for this dude's price tag to find him. And I was like, dude, what if this dude is out there running routes without Dawson Knox in? I mean, he's a bigger bodied guy. Can they use him in the red zone? And I just to get exposure to, maybe I want to play AJ Brown at the top or to get Cooper Kupp exposure, which, makes it hard to play Cooper Kupp and Stephon Diggs, obviously, if you're building a team and you go through and see how hard that is. I was like, what if I just take the cheaper Buffalo guys? So I hear you on Emmanuel Sanders because he's absolutely in a smash spot. But I was looking at the other pass catchers. And obviously, Cole Beasley's in play, too. But I just never play him. I'll let other people play him. But I was looking at Sanders as well, Kev, and Gabe Davis at cheap. I think he's like real cheap this week.
Yeah, I am all on board with everything you guys are saying about the Bills offense. And I think the injury to Knox, it funnels more production to these guys that we're already seeing, the good production. And I think the scheme that Miami plays, we talked about how they're a man heavy defense. Well, Cole Beasley has only seen 12% of his targets this year against man coverage, whereas over 80% against zone. So they use him heavily against zone teams, And then you look at the stats or the targets of the other guys against man. Diggs leads the team in man coverage targets with 23. Next highest is Emmanuel Sanders with 10. So that just tells you how much they rely on Stephon Diggs in man coverage.
That's wild.
And I mean, Sanders is next with 10, and then Dawson Knox was next with 8. And then you get down to the running backs with 5, Zach Moss with 5, Cole Beasley with 5, Gabe Davis with 3. So, I mean, I think it's going to be the Stephon Diggs and Emmanuel Sanders show, which, I mean, it kind of already has been this year. I mean, Diggs has a 26% mm-hmm. target share, 34% of the air yards. Sanders, 18% targets, 32% of the air yards. Diggs getting 118 air yards a game. Sanders getting 112. And then it drops all the way down to 41 air yards a game for Cole Beasley. So, I mean, it really has been a two-man offense with the occasional Dawson Knox.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Knox and occasional Cole Beasley blow up game. But I mean, without Dawson Knox there, I think that the production funnels even more to Diggs and Sanders. And then I agree. I mean, Gabe Davis has been playing, you know, anywhere from 30 to 50% of the snaps at wide receiver. So I like that call for a cheap spot where we've seen these cheap Buffalo guys just blow up randomly because they're attached to Josh Allen and his, tendency to throw deep and have a great deep ball. So, the matchups there, the man coverage stats point to everything but Cole Beasley. So, you know, that means Cole Beasley's going for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, so that's what that means. But yeah, I really love Diggs at the top, and I really do like the Emmanuel Sanders call as well. And I think you can play both of them, even, you know, if you don't have Josh Allen, because Sanders is cheap enough to make that work. I mean, he's what, 5K ish? I scrolled past him.
Yeah,
5,400. Yeah. So that he's cheap enough that where you can just play him with Diggs, and even if you don't have $8,100 Josh Allen, you still get the entire Buffalo offense pretty much. Is what you're hoping for there. So yeah, I really like those calls.
Yeah, I mean, it's so fun. It's so fun to do builds around Buffalo, which is why I'm like, I'll just pay for Josh Allen this week. Yeah. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, you can talk yourself into so many of these other game scripts, like especially when you're talking about, you know, paying down cheap and getting exposure to other spots. Like, I do. I love the Tennessee and Indy game. But it's like, where am I getting surefire just points from? Like, you don't even have to, like, it's not like Daryl Henderson and Matthew Stafford, where like last week, you know, we thought we were getting the Hendo game. It was a perfect Hendo spot. Like, this dude should smash. And then Stafford's just like, nah, I'm playing against my former team. Like, I want to do it all. And let me go to my boy Cooper Kupp. Like, that's fine. But like, you play that slate out more times than not, like, Hendo's going to hit. Like, that's going to be a prime spot for him to hit. And then he disappoints last week and nobody wants to play him this week. And that's how I'll get my exposure back to that team. I mean, I do like Cooper Kupp a lot this week, and he's the highest priced and deservedly so, because this dude just keeps smashing. They pass in the red zone. That's all they do. But like, the Hendo game's coming, and I just want to be on it when nobody's thinking about that. And then that way I can just play this Buffalo team who people are scared to play because of blowout potential, or Allen, you know, really hasn't, he's done it, but not in the tune where you'd want it from a DFS perspective that you need to have this player. And it's like, if Tua can just, you know, find Gesicki, get Myles Gaskin involved, do whatever you can to keep this game close. Like, if this game is within 2 touchdowns or whatever,
it doesn't,
like,
even need to be. Allen, Like, Buffalo has shown that they'll just smash you. Like, even with the first time that these two teams met, it's 35-0, and they just kept pouring it on. Right. And it's like, getting exposure to these offenses that regularly score 30-plus points is so underrated because people are just afraid that they can't stack the other side. And it's like, just play them. Get the 30-point exposure and just play them.
No, and I hear you, Maddie, and that's exactly what I'm saying. I guess the caveat being, and I'm well aware of it too, is like that first matchup, this dude only threw for 179. Like, he had two touchdowns. They didn't need him to do anything else. And like, if he gets, you know, if they get short fields against Tua, he's making mistakes. Like, maybe there does come a point where they just like, it's 35-0 and they don't need Josh Allen again. But like, how often does that happen is kind of what I'm saying. So I'm well aware that like Josh Allen could be in a spot where Buffalo has just killed this team and they're left for dead. They're on the mat, nothing left to do. And you're like, man, I paid for Josh Allen and he only got me 20 points. But it's like, dude, he could go out there. His floor is 20 points. Like, what if he goes out and gets 30 points, 35 points, 40 points in this game? And you're kicking yourself because you were like, this is a prime matchup for him to explode. And I just didn't want to play him in fear of blowout potential. We talk about this all the time, like the fear of blow up spot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't want to be scared to do it. So I'm going to play Josh Allen. And that's what led me to those teams. But and especially on a slate now where we were just dealing with, I forget however many games there were last week, but now we got the extra games. There's no London games. So more teams on the slate, more chances for people to, you know, play. I don't want to miss out on whatever, you know, I don't want to miss out on Mike Williams popping off, but it's against New England. Like, what are the chances of him popping off? Like, there's so many other spots that have so many more question marks. We're like, Buffalo, we know what the hell this team's doing. So that I just love Buffalo this week. So I will either, you know, be winning money or losing money. So that's what we talk about.
It feels like the game against Washington where they won 43-20. Like, I feel like they're going to win pretty easily. But, you know, I feel like the Dolphins will be able to put up points. They're not going to score 0 points again. I mean, Tua was out that game, and Tua's looked rather decent over the last 2 weeks. So, yeah, I'm confident enough that the Dolphins will put up enough points that, you know, Josh Allen's not going to get – he's not going to throw less than 30 times. You know, maybe it does turn into a shootout, but I don't necessarily think you need it to, right? Like you're saying, Ryan. You know, just – I think it really is underrated getting exposure to these offenses that just crush on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
I think about how profitable you'd be playing Matt Stafford or Cooper Kupp this whole year. I feel like every week
I think about that Henderson. Regularly.
Yeah, it's like every week we've talked about Henderson, right? And it's like the Rams should crush this team. The Rams should crush this team. Well, Detroit takes them into a freaking shootout last week. And it's like, no, nobody predicted that. Everybody wanted to play Henderson, and it's like, well, that game ended up being a lot closer than people thought, and Cooper Kupp scores 40 points again because of it. Right. So it's like, you know, if you were just playing Cooper Kupp because, you know, you're just like, all right, well, the Rams are going to score 30 points, and on this team I don't have Henderson, so who's getting me there from the Rams? It's like, okay, well, let me just get my exposure. So that's I feel like that's just the approach I'm going to take with Buffalo this week is, like, on teams where I'm not playing Diggs, I'll probably just try to force in Sanders.
Yeah, and just I know we're of course you having me on, you know, we're looking at that hour mark already and just getting into wide receivers, so I apologize. But it kind of, when you brought that up, I thought that was just awesome to bring up because I wrote down Diggs. Like, the first thing that I did this week was just like, dude, Diggs is in a great spot. But on teams where I'm not, if I don't play Diggs and I am having Josh Allen with those other two guys, like, I'm forcing myself to get to Cooper Kupp. Because Cooper Kupp is that dude who just can just separate and just break the entire slate. Like, I am interested in A.J. Brown. I think people will go back to the Jamar Chase. Well, I think some of these other guys are thinking we're going to get a popular Chris Godwin again in that matchup against the Saints, where all the talk right now on Twitter, at least that I've seen, is just how Marshawn Lattimore shuts down Mike Evans, and Mike Evans is coming off of the 3-touchdown game. So I think Chris Godwin's ownership is just going to be so much more up there. I am interested for cheap in Tyler Johnson as well. Like, Tyler Johnson and Gabe Davis would be the two guys that I would look at.
I played him last week.
And a lot of people did, Maddie. Like, he got some steam last week, and he really didn't get there in a game where they just didn't need him. But like, if the Saints keep this close for whatever reason, like, I think he's very intriguing. Where you like, you, I've talked about Tom Brady, like playing Tom Brady, not taking Mike Evans, taking Chris Godwin and Tyler Johnson. If you're not getting exposure to a tight end who's coming back this week, I think makes a lot of sense with Alvin Kamara, who's the only play that I play from the Saints, I think, this week. So for me, there's not a lot of cheap guys that I like outside of those two guys that I mentioned. So I'm looking at the top, which is why I mentioned Khalil Herbert, because I was just building teams and just figuring out, okay, I know I want to play up for receiver this week. It feels like that type of week. Where can I go cheap? And these guys at the top are just in such prime spots. Like, I'm going to play Cooper Kupp. I'm going to play Stephon Diggs. I'm going to have exposure to A.J. Brown this week. And I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, I like Chris Godwin in game stacks, and I'm really not going to have too much exposure like everywhere else, because my quarterbacks are going to be tied to some of these high-end pass catchers. And I'm just going to get creative elsewhere where people are going to play, you know, these other guys that are just not in good favorable spots. Like, I could see Chase getting disappointed by Mixon. I could see, you know, the Indy guys getting disappointed by Taylor. Yeah, T. Higgins. I mean, I guess Mike Williams would have some intrigue for me if Eckler is ruled out, because, you know, it would be like Joshua Kelly and Justin Jackson back there, and people will play them, and I'll just get an alpha wide receiver in that role. But I like these guys at the top a lot.
Okay. And then, Kev, I got a question for you before you take off on your wide receivers. Debo Samuel has been questionable with a calf injury this week. He's been limited, and it's, you know, calf injuries are not really something that are ideal, especially for a wide receiver. So if Debo Samuel is out, Kev, how much Brandon Ayuk are you going to have?
Especially, what is he, like $4,200?
$4,500, I believe. Yeah.
Wow.
No, he's 42. Yeah, he's
42. Yeah, 42. Yeah. You're right.
So, a lot. Like,
I'm the same boat.
Who else are they throwing the ball to? You know, in that game, that's what
not happens, George, right? Kittle.
No, because George Kittle's not expected to be back till next week. And so, yeah, I mean, Listen, I'm gonna play Brandon Ayuk this week, even if Debo Samuel plays.
Okay.
Because I'm like, eventually it's gonna pay off. It could be week 8, it could be week 15. I don't know. But I'm going down with this ship. And so you know, I'm gonna play some Brandon Ayuk no matter
what. Screw the sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah. Hey, eventually it's gonna pay off. What it does, I can victory lap that I played him for 14 straight weeks, and you know, he finally paid off 1 week. So I absolutely you know, really like him, but We'll see. He's been limited. They said that they felt like he was going to be able to play, but they're just being really cautious with him. We'll see. In this matchup against Chicago, you know, you talked about not really liking some of these middle-tier wide receivers, but I love some of these middle-tier wide receivers. And, like, I don't think you have to, like, obviously, you know, I'm going to have some Cooper Kupp because I'm never not going to have Cooper Kupp, and especially against fucking Houston. And so the guys just absolutely, you know, went off. So it depends on my builds and how this plays out. And then, you know, like I said, I think Stephon Diggs makes a lot of sense. But I do like DJ Moore, and I like A.J. Brown and Deontay Johnson. You know, I like all those guys. But, you know, getting down into, like, the 6th and the 5K range guys, like I already talked about Calvin Ridley. Like, Calvin Ridley is eventually going to put it together. Like, he has double-digit targets in every game this year but one. He just isn't finding the end zone, and they're not using him deep, right? And so eventually he's going to go off, and I think you're going to start seeing put more effort into stopping Kyle Pitts, and that's what I think Kyle Ridley is going to go off, and he's super cheap at 6,600. I mean, Calvin Ridley is usually a guy that's 79, 8K, you know, wide receiver, and you can get him at 6,600. And so I like Calvin Ridley a lot, especially because this is how much targets he's going to see. And then, you know, listen, I know you guys kind of hit on Chris Godwin a little bit, but without Antonio Brown, like, it's hard not to love Chris Godwin and the role he's going to see, especially at $6,400. You know, last week he saw 11 targets, and, you know, he didn't have the monster game that Mike Evans did, but he still went 8 for 111 and a tutty for 25.1. And I don't know. I mean, historically, yes, Marshawn Lattimore has just shut down Mike Evans. It's like it's Super Bowl every single week. Every time they play each other, and it's like, it's like they get into it every time. We're not sure if there's going to be a fight that's going to break out every time that those two teams play. But I love Chris Godwin. I love the Ty Johnson call, by the way, as well. I think he's a viable option this week. Viable number three. There's no Scotty Miller. He's on IR. And so I do think that Ty Johnson is also somebody that we could take a look at. But that gets me to the guys that I really want to talk about, and that is, one, Devonta Smith. Absolutely love him. He's only 5,500 against Detroit.
Yes,
great
please.
Matchup. And so he's just been snake bitten by bad fucking luck. He has three or four touchdowns this year that have been called back.
He's called back this week. Yeah.
You know, and so that has literally been the problem. But yeah. He's just too cheap. He's the alpha wide receiver on this team. It is a great matchup against Detroit. So I love $5,500 Devonta Smith, whether it's in a game stack or whether playing him separately. Michael Pittman is only $5,300. And mainly, I'm assuming it's because of his, you know, they played on Monday Night Football. So we got that Monday Night Football pricing. But Michael Pittman at $5,300 against Tennessee is just too cheap. The guy has been, like I said, an alpha wide receiver this year. And at his price tag, it's going to be hard for him not to pay that off. So I love Michael Pittman. And I like him, again, same thing. Whether you're playing him in a game stack or you're playing him separately, I have no problem doing that at the price that he is. So we have a Chicago guy on, so I just have to ask. You played Allen Robinson this week? $4,900.
Did you ever think interested.
You'd get that $4,900 Allen Robinson?
I'm interested.
Here's my theory. I really wonder if this is all a business decision for Allen Robinson. Like, he clearly doesn't want to be there. He didn't want to be there. He wasn't happy that he was franchised. And to me, like, there's been some times where you see him out there and he's just kind of looks like he's going through the motions. Like, he's not like, doesn't really seem like he cares that much. Maybe he's trying to get traded. But he has to. I mean, this guy has played with some of the worst quarterbacks we've ever fucking seen and has produced. And now he just can't do nothing this year. Like, it's just incredible to me that he's been so bad. But $4,900, I think he's like another one of those guys that I'm just going to keep playing him. Eventually, he's going to pay off. Eventually, he's going to have a good game. And at $4,900, he doesn't have to do a whole lot. And then past that, Jerry Jeudy's coming off IR, $4,900 as well. Great matchup against Washington. Sorry ass defense.
And he's been ruled in since like early in the week too. It's not like he's like a game time decision, right? It's like he's back. Like, I'm expecting a full, maybe not 100% of snaps, but I mean, I'm expecting him to be close to a full go.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, he's definitely ready to rock. And I think he had what was it, like 11 targets or something like that? Week one, or the first week that he played. Before he went
seven
down.
Before he got hurt. Yeah. But he led the team, had a ton of air yards. He's like just south of 100 air yards with leaving the game early.
Yeah. Are you guys playing Jamal Agnew, by the way, too? $3,700, you know, just.
I'm not playing him.
No, I can't. I played him on the showdown.
I don't know where this guy's in London, from. But
I played him in London, but that's how I can't on full play.
And I also want to say I love the Gabe Davis call as well. So I absolutely love that call, especially with Dawson Knox out. He's $3,300. So,
yeah, he could be nice in the game stacks. I will say, just looking at the slate and looking else at these cheap options that Kev tends to be in love with as well too. Quez Watkins is very intriguing to me. Like, when you mentioned Devonta Smith, who I do like too, and I've played him a ton this year in Jalen Hurts stacks. Hurts has tried to find this guy, Quez Watkins, deep lots this year. And if this dude gets loose, like, he could pay off in bunches. And you know, with no Miles Sanders, I think people look at the running backs here. And we did talk about Jalen Hurts and potential stack options, which before we get to tight ends, I love Dallas Goedert. So I'll just say that. But, you know, Quez Watkins for cheap in stacks, I think has some appeal for sure. Where most people would think Devonta and Goddard first, but I'm not sure what his air yards is. I'm not sure what his A dot is or share, but I just looked at him and I was like, man, this Quez Watkins, I feel like I watch those games and I'm just like, dude, what is going on? Like, I have Smith or Goddard lines and Quez Watkins is getting those targets deep.
So Quez is, all of his metrics are literally Devonta Smith cut in half. They have pretty much the same A dot. Smith is 13.5 and Quez is 14, which is, you know, shocking because I you know, you wouldn't expect Devonta Smith to have that deep of an A dot. I mean, over 13.5. and he's getting 7.5 targets a game. Like, that's crazy. He's going to blow up this week, I think. You know, he's been watching Jamar Chase do it every week, and it's just time. It's time. So Devontae Smith's getting 100 air yards a game, and Quez is getting 52. Devontae Smith, 23% of the targets. Quez at 11.5. So he is literally Devontae Smith cut in half, which in a tournament, I'm against Detroit, I'm good with it.
Yeah, he's also sixth in yards per reception and fifth in yards per target among all wide receivers. And he's actually – Quez is also 30th in yards per out run, which was also encouraging to see. So, yeah, I don't mind that play either.
That's interesting. He's just one of those guys, like, not even looking at metrics, that just knowing that how much exposure I have to Jalen Hurts in best ball and season long teams, like watching this Philly games. I'm like, dude, I don't need you, but you keep popping up on my screen. And like, it's intriguing to me from a DFS standpoint. I will say, just right around that range too of Brandon Ayuk, like, what's going on with Robbie Anderson? Like, These lines that this dude is producing are absolutely egregious. Like, this is unheard of. 11 targets, 11 yards receiving, one touchdown. What is that, dude? 9 targets, 14 yards receiving. This is unheard of. This is unheard of. Now, granted, I mean, again, I asked Kev, is Sam Darnold going to be starting or is it going to be PJ Walker? I mean, he is on the do not touch list. Like, I don't know how you can play this guy, but like, he's getting, like, if you look at those numbers, and I just didn't tell you what the production was, and I'm just like, yo, you're going to get these numbers. What do you expect outside of the receiving yards? Like, 11 targets, seven targets, 9 targets for a guy who's at his price tag. What are you doing? You're going to say jam him in.
Robbie Anderson is turning into the PJ Tucker of football, fantasy football. PJ Tucker goes out and gets 35 minutes a night in basketball, and you're like, oh, this cheap guy is going to play a ton of minutes and goes and stands in the corner and does absolutely nothing. That's what Robbie Anderson's turning into, a guy who gets 11 targets and just can't do anything, has 11 yards. If you can't outproduce your targets with yards, there's a problem.
Yeah, I just – hashtag box score watching, like, no, again, no metrics, but I was just like looking through. I'm like, wait a second, what the hell is going on with Robbie Anderson's numbers?
Unless Carolina gets Deshaun Watson, I'm out on Robbie Anderson. I can't do it anymore. I've been down that road 3 or 4 times already this year, and it's just like, nope, I'm good.
That's fair. I just couldn't believe it. I can't believe it. And of course he will pop. Like, I mean, you don't have numbers like that, Maddie, and don't, like, at some point it's going to give. Like, it's not like this dude's seeing 2, 3, 4 targets. Like, if you're going to get that target production, you know, maybe it's against Atlanta and this dude pops off at 3% ownership this week. It makes it tough to play him. I wouldn't run him unless I was doing like opto shit or whatever.
I really feel like you're really trying to talk us into him. Like, you're really trying to.
No, I'm just letting you know. Like, I'm. It's gonna be hard for me. Like, I've been thinking about him all week, and I'm like, dude, do you save this dude who nobody will play? But I'm not gonna force. I'm not gonna force him into lineups. It will have to come down to, I have a spot left. Who am I gonna play? Maybe I'll play Robbie Anderson. I will say that I do want Sam Darnold starting. If I'm playing Robbie Anderson, I'm not going to play him with PJ Walker. So I probably will have none, but he's just one guy that I wanted to talk about with you guys, because those numbers are absolutely insane. So I thought that was fun.
Yeah, he has just been fucking awful. So other than that, if you guys have anybody else to talk about, you want to jump over to tight ends and defenses?
Let's do it.
Those exciting positions we have. All right. So a tight end, $6,300, Kyle Pitts, TJ Hockenson, $5,400, Mike Gesicki at $5,000, Noah Fant at $4,900, Dallas Goedert at $4,700, Gronk, who's back, at $4,600, Tyler Higbee at $4,500, Hunter Henry, $4,200. I expect Ryan to just wax poetically on the revenge game narrative. We have not heard a revenge game narrative. And we even have Jameis on a revenge game narrative.
I brought up Jameis revenge.
I missed that one, but I better hear it on Hunter Henry.
I'm not playing him.
Well, but I'm going to start things off, because there is one guy that, you know, this show has been known to. I feel like we unearthed him together. Well, yes. It really wasn't together. It was me and Maddie went down the road. Ryan went a different direction. He veered off.
Josh Hill. Josh Hill, baby.
A different direction. Kev threw out a completely random name that nobody's ever heard of before. And then we just went down the Air Yards road, and that's how the name Air Yarnold was born.
Yes.
Air Yarnold.
So this is 100% unequivocally a Dan Arnold Smash Week. Welcome to it.
I love it.
Absolutely love Dan Arnold this week. He's seeing a healthy amount of targets. He's only $2,800. So, and there's no like Travis Kelce. Oh my God, he's gonna kill me on this slate if I don't have him. There's no Darren Waller. There's no George Kittle. Yes, Kyle Pitts is on the slate, but I mean he's like the only guy that really lets you even feel that can absolutely bury you right at tight end. Right. And so I think this is a week that we get a little different at tight end. And I think Dan Arnold does that for us. And so if you look at his targets since he's been in Jacksonville, he's seen 8 and 5 targets over those two games. He's running a healthy amount of routes, 28 and 27, playing a lot of snaps. Even his air yards haven't been terrible this year, 18th in air yards, 17th in market share of air yards. So I like Dan the man Arnold this week at his price tag. He is only $2,800. He's seeing a lot of targets. It's a match. It's a great matchup. If you're wanting to, like I already talked about Trevor Lawrence, I think you could do him with even if you wanted to, LaVisca Chenault, and then a Dan Arnold if you feel so frisky to do so. But I like Dan Arnold. I think it's a week to get different at tight end. It's not, there's no obvious 100% smash play tight end that you just have to play here. And so I feel like ownership is going to be spread out at tight end this week. And so I think getting a little bit different with a guy like Dan Arnold is where I want to start. So
I love it. I mean, if you throw out the first game he played with Jacksonville, because what was that on like a 4-day notice? You throw that game out, the game against Cincy. So you're looking at the last two games. He's second on the team in targets with 6.5 a game. Second on the team in air yards. He's with 42 and 18% of the targets. So, yeah, I'm about it.
I'm on board with that call too.
You ready to go over defense?
Dude, seriously, I love what you're saying, Kev. Where you're like, you don't have Kelce, you don't have Waller, you have Kyle Pitts up there, but like Calvin Ridley's back, Gage is back. Like I think more often than not, we're not going to see the Kyle Pitts lines that we saw last week with all those guys healthy. At least at this point, unless Atlanta's in prime, come from behind spots or spots where they could smash. So I think you can just, really let your lineups dictate who you're playing at tight end, even if that's an under 3K guy or, 5K guy, depending on where you're playing. But I love Dallas Goedert this week. I mean, he just, on a slate where we just have, don't have those stud guys, I'll just play, a guy in the spot where I want to get exposure to this game. I want to get exposure to Jalen Hurts in and of itself. And, without Ertz being around there, the targets haven't been there yet, but we know he can be explosive. And I think that people won't play him maybe because of where he's coming in at a price, but I like him for what he can offer. Hunter Henry is interesting. If Jonnu Smith is officially ruled out, it is a revenge game, quote unquote, for Hunter Henry actually going back to LA to play against this team. So definitely love that script. And in a game that should, have sneaky potential to kind of get to that 50 point total, right? So I like getting exposure to him too, but I think it's Dallas Goedert for me. I do like Gesicki if I'm talking about these Buffalo stacks. Like if I want to play a bring back, I'm going to have exposure to Gesicki at this spot because it makes it easy for a bring back. I don't have to use up a wide receiver spot. But then Gronk, I mean, if this dude is back with Mike Evans being shadowed and no AJ Brown, like, he's basically got every injury under the sun. Like, really, you could roll him out there with Antonio Brown's cane. And like, I feel like this dude could still find the end zone twice. But he's got a reasonable price tag. So I am interested in some Gronk exposure if he's good to go.
Yeah, I think tight end's pretty straightforward this week. I didn't hear you guys touch on Hockenson, but I really like Hockenson this week too against Philly. Running backs and tight ends against Philly, and I mean that's what Detroit does. So it's all the more reason to like that game is that defense fits right in the wheelhouse of what Detroit wants to do. So I mean you're pretty much gonna get 10 targets in a really good matchup for Hockenson. And I mean we saw the first 2 weeks he smashed with 25 and 21 fantasy points, so he has that upside in him. And I think he could possibly go a little overlooked here with Kyle Pitts just a little more expensive and guys like Goddard and Gronk a little bit cheaper. So he's kind of in no man's land with pricing.
Yeah, and I think just a couple other guys that I would – I think we have to talk about Ricky Seals-Jones. I mean, since he's taken over for Logan Thomas, he is just – he pretty much plays every snap. He played 198 and 94% of the snaps the last 3 weeks that he's been out there. And then he's also run 36, 34, and 39 routes, 38 targets, 6 targets, 7 targets, and he's seen – 7 red zone targets in that span as well. So, I mean, he's only $3,800. We have to monitor, see if Logan – I don't think Logan Thomas is going to be back. They did designate him for return. But he's been working out. They said there's a possibility he could play. But I would be surprised if he played the first week back. So, I think this week he would miss. So, I don't mind going Ricky Seals-Jones at $3,800, though I think he's going to carry quite a bit of ownership. So, I would probably stay away from that. But then also – Pat Freiermuth has kind of been somebody that I think people have kind of quietly got on board with as well. He played the most snaps before they went on bye, played 60% of the snaps, ran or tied for the most routes he's ran, had 7 targets in that game, 7 for 58 against Seattle. So I don't mind him either. I think he's an interesting play at his price tag, but not somebody I think you have to jam in or anything like that. But at 3,600, I don't really mind him either in this matchup against him. And then Cole Kmet, I keep riding the train. We'll see if it ever actually takes off. But at $3,100, don't mind him. So other than that, that's all I really have at tight end. It's mainly Dan Arnold. And then, sprinkle in some of the guys you guys mentioned I definitely like. So other than that, I think we can move over to defense unless you guys have somebody you guys want to talk about.
Let's do it.
All right. So the Rams, $5,100. No, thank you. Can't do it. Can't pay for a 5K defense. Steelers are $4,300. Bucks are $4,200. Bengals at $3,600. I am shocked that they're not more expensive than that. That seems like almost like a bargain for a defense facing the Jets and Mike White at $3,600. 49ers are $3,500. The Broncos are $3,400. Bills are $3,300. Chargers are $3,200. Panthers are $3,100. The Browns are $3,000. But let's be honest. We don't mess around with these top defenses. We go straight to the bottom. So, who are the defenses that you really have interest in? Because there is a couple that I don't like. I really like Washington at $2,100. Teddy Bridgewater has really struggled. He has not been very good the last couple of weeks. He could get benched at any time where we could see Drew Lock. So, Washington at $2,100 is ridiculously cheap to me. I don't hate the Lions at $2,300. Jalen Hurts can't turn the football over. The Lions have actually been pretty good at getting pressure on the quarterback, so I don't mind them. Jaguars at $2,400 against Seattle. I think it's interesting, going against Geno Smith. Those are kind of the lower tiered. I'm not messing with the Texans. I'm not messing with the Jets. So what about you guys? Who you guys on this week?
Who you got, Maddie?
I mean, you know me. I'm team punt D. I'm just going to end up finding one that ends up working. I guess probably the Jaguars at $2,400 stand out against Geno Smith. Other than that, man, it's there's not really anything that jumps off the page like we had. What was it, Cincy or something in week 2 or week 3? That was $2,300 and a really good matchup.
We also had the Cardinals where we were all
the Cardinals
$2,100.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's not really anything of it that really jumps off the page like that. I mean, I guess the Bears against San Fran, but I mean, San Fran is just going to take the air out of the ball as much as they can, so it doesn't really excite me too much, despite it possibly being a lower scoring game. Yeah, it's, I guess, Jacksonville against Seattle, but I mean, I would assume they'd be popular. But I mean, Yeah. Defense is what I feel in last, so. I'll just say Jacksonville's the cheapest one I feel semi-decent about.
I'll have some exposure to the Bears, I think, just because of them being at home, getting Akeem Hicks back, which it looks like he'll play. Khalil Mack, he's always questionable, but I think he should be all right to go. Just the run stopper in the front, I think will be huge for them. So if they can contain Eli Mitchell and force Jimmy Garoppolo to throw, make mistakes, fumble, whatever, this defense just plays better at home. So I do have some interest in them as well. I think them with a Herbert, if you get that stack going, I think that's very interesting to kind of play around with. And then just go and cheat. But I am interested in like Buffalo, who just is not priced up at where they should be at home against Miami. Like they could definitely pay off for where they're coming in at their price tag. And then Philly as well, being at home. I know they've struggled in some games playing from behind, but going against Jared Goff is always a favorable situation there. So even though I do like Swift, I do like getting exposure to this game on that end, but I think the Philly D can wreck enough havoc to score points to make them viable.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I also say I think the Falcons, with the way that Sam Darnold's turning over the football, you could do that too as well at 2,900. So if you want to pay up a little bit at there. So other than that, hey, hour 20, I would say that's actually probably some sort of a record for us with all three of us on the show. Yeah, it used to be 2 hours, 2:30, 2:20. So the three of us at an hour 20, I think is pretty solid, but we're not done yet because we got to build our line. We got to build our lineup here. And so we're going to do that for sure. And then we will wrap this thing up. So Ryan, you're going to start us off at quarterback, or not at quarterback, at any position. You're starting off the build for this week. Where are we starting?
I love that. How do I want to take this? Let's see what we can do with putting Joe Mixon for now. Let's see what we can do with Joe Mixon.
That is not where I thought you were going to go with this build.
Neither. That threw me off.
As soon as you said I clicked Josh Allen's name.
Yeah. No, let's see what we can do with him. Because I do want to see what we land on with quarterback.
All right, Maddie, you're up.
Interesting. Devontae Smith is going absolutely nuclear this week. And he is $5,500.
All right. Well, if we're going to do that, then let's just lock in Hurts then.
And then let's play Swift as well.
Yeah.
So I do like this game stack.
Do you want a full nuke it and go Hockenson, or are we playing Dan the Man?
Well, I don't know.
That's up to you.
Man, 5,400 would be kind of tight. I think we could make it work, but let's go with Stephon Diggs.
I love it.
I'm going to put the pressure on you guys, and I know where Kev's going next. Let me go ahead and scroll down to $2,800.
Go ahead and lock in Dan Arnold, $2,800. So that leaves 4,133 for a wide receiver flex and defense. Back to you, Ryan.
Let's go with.
I tell you what, I'll go ahead and do Jags D as mine, and you guys can fill out wide receiver and flex. That leaves you guys 5K per.
What happens if we go Godwin?
Good things, because he scores us a lot of fantasy points. 3,600 flex. Who is that? I feel like there's somebody down there.
Is that Watkins?
No, he's too much.
He's 4K.
Oh, he's 4 flat.
Gabe Davis, 3,300.
What if instead of Godwin, it's Ty Johnson in the flex? Tyler Johnson.
Oh, you threw me off.
I was thinking
the actual Ty Johnson. I'm like, I forget. Where did this guy come from? We didn't talk about him.
That would leave 6,900. So you're looking at AJ Brown against Indy, Nick Chubb, Deontay Johnson, Calvin Ridley. and Daryl Henderson. So, I mean, it's a pretty good group there.
Yeah, I'd say if we do that, I would say we either lock in A.J. Brown or Deontay or Calvin Ridley, really. All three of those I like.
Yeah. I mean, A.J. Brown's a nice piece to get exposure to that game, because I do think that game does hit in some way, shape, or form. And, I mean, you're thinking about how many people are going to have, you know, Chris Godwin left in their lineups to go, thinking that they're chilling, and we get all the points with Tyler Johnson. If this dude finds the end zone, he'll pop.
Yeah, and I mean,
lineup, now I'm looking at it, now I got it all locked in.
Yeah, we know that Brady will target, you know, the matchups, and if for whatever reason, if Lattimore is covering Mike Evans a little better than they would like, then he's gonna hammer Tyler Johnson. And Tyler Johnson's actually good. Like, he's a good wide receiver.
He is.
He's just been stuck behind a good depth chart, is his issue.
Well, and Scotty Miller, I think, is he questionable at this point? I think he's not necessarily ruled.
He was out last week.
Right. So I think if Scotty Miller.
He's on IR. He was spotted at running off the side of Wednesday's practice, but.
Oh, okay.
He still has.
Yeah, I was going to. I thought I saw. I
highly doubt. And
so he probably
the Bucks
doesn't
haven't even
play.
Designated him for return yet. So,
he probably doesn't play. And then if Gronk doesn't get ruled in, I think it even further.
Gronk will be back. Elevate. He practiced in full. He'll be back. Right. But I think that just takes away from Brate's snaps, because Brate was getting snaps and targets regardless. Right. They're going to run 11 personnel. They're going to have three wide receivers.
They're running three personnel. Yeah. I always like having, like, even when I build teams, and I've been building teams this year, and it's like, okay, how do I get Rams exposure? Like, Van Jefferson's been out there running a ton of routes. Like, I'll have teams with him on there.
It's so smart. Like, you're getting a cheap piece to an offense that is going to score 35 points. I mean, the odds that your guy catches a touchdown just go up, as opposed to trying to get a cheap piece like Jamal Agnew or somebody like that, like an offense that maybe scores two touchdowns and as a whole. Like, it's just you're exposing yourself to a more favorable scenario. And it's like, so – I mean, Tyler Johnson, Gabe Davis, we talked about these guys, but it's like getting a cheap piece on a really good offense attached to a really good quarterback. It's the way to do it, man.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Yeah. Well, so this team is Jalen Hurts, Joe Mixon, DeAndre Swift, Devonta Smith, Stephon Diggs, A.J. Brown, Dan Arnold, Ty Johnson, and the Jags D with absolutely nothing remaining. So we're gonna lock that in. I love that lineup, by the way. And so I think that's a really good line. So we'll see how this one does. But other than that, Ryan, happy to have you back. It's always felt a little weird with just me and Maddie. You know, we've held it down, but not having you here, you know, hasn't been the same. But we're happy to have you back. And hopefully it's not another 8 weeks until you're on again.
Hey, man, like I said, you know, we got that week in November bookmark. We're going to have to get some other special guests back in to join us. I mean, three might not be enough for a three-game slate. We might have to, you know, double that, if not. close to.
We'll see if I have to pay somebody behind the scenes or something, bribe some people to get on the show with us. But, yeah, the Thanksgiving one is really, really fun to get all the boys back together for just an absolutely off the rails podcast. What was it? It was a couple years ago, 2.5 hours for three games. It's just completely and utterly unnecessary and ridiculous, but a ton of fun.
But I don't even think they were like that great of games either. Like, there was a couple that were good, but then it was not even like something that should have ever went that long. But anyways, so yeah. We'll definitely lock that. It's only a few weeks away. I mean, we're almost in November, right?
Yep.
So that's really only about what, 3 weeks away, three weeks away. So not that far away. So I guess Ryan, you'll be back here shortly. So once again, I really appreciate you joining us as always. You know your chair is always locked in. We're never gonna fill it. It's Ryan's chair. So whenever you want to come back, you just let us know. But with that being said, I appreciate everybody checking everything out. You can find Ryan on Twitter. I don't even have it pulled up. It's Ryan Alexander W. _W, right?
There _ go. W.
You think I would have that memorized? I mean, we've only been doing this for fucking how long? But
it's been a while. It's been a while.
Ryan Alexander part. But anyways, Maddie at Maddie DFS. You can find me on Twitter. Well, you already know because you're already following me on Twitter. You can find me at FantasyRat13. I appreciate everybody out. Let's win that money this week, boys. I want to see some screenshots because we're making it rain around here. But until the next week, we will see you then. And be sure to check out Maddie's wide receiver cornerback matchup video that is straight fire every single week. That should be out tomorrow morning. And be sure to jump in the Discord. It's absolutely free. Jump in the Discord. Link is in the description of all of our videos. Free Discord. Hope to see you all over there. It's been popping. It's always popping. I have turned off notifications sometimes. Don't tell anybody that. There's so much stuff going on in there. So that's been great. Anyways, for real, we're leaving this time. I'll see you guys soon. Bye.
Think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war about you. I see what you got. It measures in ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah. That's a break, little man. Break it down. Think you're right, you know. Think you're right, you know. Think you're a big man. You like your little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah. That's a break, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just stop wanting me to be someone else. You can be like a book on a shelf that you can be, boy. Yeah, that you can be, little man.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.